Today, our scriptural reading, we have two readings today. The first one is from Kings, 2 Kings, really, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. I think you're probably familiar with the story. Our reading from the Hebrew Bible is part of a longer story in the early part of the 2 Kings. The northern kingdom of Israel is in a time of prolonged conflict with its neighbors, particularly Syria to the north. Today, we read that Naaman, the chief of staff of the Syrian army, has been struck with leprosy through an Israeli slave girl that had been captured in a raid. He seeks aid from an unlikely source, Elisha, the prophet of Israel. This is like the joint chiefs of staff of the U.S. military going to Baghdad for treatment of cancer, because he can't get it at home. So I think it's quite an interesting story. 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him that the girl from Israel had said, "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, and I quote, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy," unquote. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes off and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy?" See how he is trying to pick a fight with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself into Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Our second reading comes from Mark 1, verses 40 to 45. We've been working our way through the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where the ministry of Jesus is launched in flamboyant style. His core message is proclaimed to the amazement of the people, of the consternation of the religious leaders. He offers healing and new life to those who struggle and are pushed aside. Today, we hear a curiously told story of the cleansing of a leper. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely. Who wouldn't? Spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Healing stories from our ancient traditions. Why don't you remain seated while we sing together, "Healer of Our Every Ill." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I think it was about 25 years ago, I found myself in the Kootenays and I was on a farm. I didn't grow up on a farm, so I didn't really know much about the whole farming way of life. And I have very vague memories of that visit, but one thing that stands out for me of that visit, I remember learning, or maybe it was more like discovering, how to douse for water. It's sometimes referred to as witching for water. And I think that's because there's something absolutely mysterious and just a little bit unnerving about the process that underlies the ability that some people have to identify the presence of water underneath the surface of the earth. But it is real. And before that time, I had no idea that it was possible, and certainly I had no idea that I could do this. I remember walking across the farmyard with two rods in my hand, bent in L, with the short end loosely in my hands, like this, and tipped a little bit forward so that they were perfectly parallel. And I remember walking across the farmyard until I crossed the pipe, which took water from one side of the farmyard to the other, and they crossed. And then I continued, and they straightened out. It was a little unnerving. But it happened. It was like discovering a dimension of life that was there all along, that I could be in touch with. I could have been in touch with if I'd known all along. But that until I came in contact with people who could show me, I never would have discovered it. I mean, you just don't bend coat hangers and try walking across the farmyard just for the lark. You need people to show you. Like a healing stream, the Spirit of God flows beneath the surface of our living, beneath the membrane of our existence, beneath the geography of every day. At times, if we discover, if we are led to it, we become aware of the one who is there all the time, available for communion, for inspiration, for healing, for calm, for insight, wisdom, for relationship. And I say this not because I have certain knowledge, nor because I always feel it and see it, but because I have been surprised and even astonished by God's healing presence. Astonished enough in my life, been led by the stories of others enough to trust that the healing stream flows beneath my consciousness all the time. Though often I don't trust it the way that I could. I have seen a sign that you can get. It's carved into stone. I'd love to put it up somewhere in my life that says, "Bidden or unbidden, God is here." We don't have to call on God in order for God to show up. Well, I do bid, but often, probably more often than I care to admit, I'm a little bit more like Naaman. I love this story Naaman the great and powerful, at least in his own mind. The leader of the armies of Aram, a man of influence in the world, someone whose fingers are on the levers of power. And yet he is utterly powerless in one section of his life, his health, leprosy. Now, how well does that describe the human condition? How often are we in situations where in some aspects of our life, we've got it all together? But there's one dimension that consistently eludes us, our Achilles heel. While Naaman can't see how his power and his illness might just be connected. But we discover as the story goes along. I wonder sometimes if the healers of Aram that he said he went to over and over again had tried to help him, but he would not be helped. Finally, a slave girl, a Hebrew, caught in battle, says there's a healer in Israel, back home, that can surely help him. So he goes, taking all of the trappings of his power. And you notice, when he pulls up in front of the prophet's home, the prophet does not even flinch at all that power, at all the pageantry that is just pulled up in front of his little hut. I have this vision of him making coffee in the morning, and along comes Naaman in all his glory, and he's continuing to make coffee, and they knock on the door, and he continues to make coffee. Yes, it is the great Naaman who seeks healing. Right. Just tell him to go to the Jordan. At this point, Naaman's arrogance is revealed. Oh, come on. I am a man of distinction. I expect no common healing. I expect healing to come to me in such a way that it becomes a legend. Talked about for generations, the day that the great and mighty Naaman was healed. But it wasn't to be that way for Naaman and God. No, in the eyes of God, in relation to the healing stream, Naaman's just like everybody else. Just another beggar looking for bread. Just another person suffering with leprosy. Just like the woman on the street, or the child in the bed, or the man in the office tower. Or nothing more. Nothing less. That may be hard for Nathan to see. In fact, that may be the biggest stumbling block between Naaman and his own healing. Fortunately, Naaman is surrounded by some wise counsel that know him pretty well. And they don't let him be his own worst enemy. And it's easy to see the walls that Naaman had erected around himself that stand between him and this way of healing. I mean, it's often easier for another to see us and for us to see another's stumbling blocks, isn't it? It's often easier to see the unhealthy patterns in the life of someone else than to see our own unhealthy patterns. Human beings have an amazing capacity to make the same mistakes over and over and over again and not know it. We can't see the patterns in our own lives, and yet someone else can look at it and say, "Oh, can't you see what you're doing?" Like a healing stream, the Spirit of God flows beneath the surface of our living, beneath the membrane of our existence, beneath the geography of this day, beneath the surface of Naaman's day. Naaman suffered from the spiritual malaise of pride and arrogance fueled by nationalism. And these ailments of the soul, really, blocked him from finding healing of the body at the healing stream. He could not see it, but others could. It may be something different for you and for me, but the common thread is the myriad of ways in which the state of our soul affects the state of our whole selves, for good or for ill. How many times have you seen a radiant soul shining in the eyes of a broken body? Who is alive there? Who is healed there? How many times have you said, there is somebody with a great attitude. With that kind of attitude, healing is possible. A radiant soul. The state of our soul, which affects the state of our whole. It's the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous. The disease of alcoholism has spiritual roots. It is an expression of a wounded soul. And though we have tried with some amazing results over the last 200 or 300 years to quantify and to categorize and to cure physical illness through scientific methods, which are very powerful, in the process, I think we have often neglected the place of the soul in healing. The realities of physical frailty are not going to go away. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that all you have to do is pray hard and it'll all be better. We are mortal, formed of earth, and to earth we all return. However, we are soul. And our soul needs to dip in the healing stream of God. And that immersion heals the whole. There are times when we are in touch with and aware of a healing stream that is God. And in other times, we are oblivious. And it is certainly not that the healing stream disappears, that God goes on vacation. It's about awareness and the state of our soul. There is a small cluster of women that gather here in this place every week, every Wednesday night, to practice that awareness and to offer that awareness to others. The Healing Touch Group. That's really what they're doing. Is practicing the presence of the healing stream which flows beneath all of us. And I believe that God calls us today and every day to the practice of the awareness of that healing stream. To come dip in the waters of the Spirit. Come lay aside whatever stumbling blocks we carry. Our pride, our strength, our fear, whatever temporarily props us up. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Amen.